All right, great to have you back with us as we welcome in Paul White. Of course, Paul, one of the great baseball analysts and writers that covers the game, and always a pleasure to have Paul on. Paul, how are you today?
Great, Marty. How are you doing?
Well, pretty good. The Giants are in the midst of a COVID issue, and they just put out a press release. The Giants and Mariners made a trade today with infielder Mike Ford joining the Giants organization in exchange for cash considerations. Ford, number 70, will be active for today's game. And Kai Tom has been returned to AAA Sacramento. So as I'm speaking to you, I'm looking up Mike Ford, and he's got 277 major league at-bats,
yep.
And he's hitting, do you know him? 199.
Yeah, he's a power guy, first baseman. Has had his moments. The Yankees at one time thought he might be at least a partial answer while they were going through transition at first base. They had him. They had Greg Bird, a couple other guys. He is what he is. A modern day big power. Not going to hit for much average. Maybe not as much plate discipline as you want, but probably a good fill-in, especially at first base where you could use it.
All right, and he's a left-handed hitter, so maybe this is the complement to Ruff at first base with Belt. Who knows how long Belt will be out.
Right,
so,
right.
All right, very good, Paul, very good. You're on top of this. Mike Ford is now a San Francisco Giant, and he will be active for today's game. A lot going on around Major League Baseball, and the primary thing for you and I right now, Washington is here. And, Paul, they got loose last night, 22 hits, 22 hits for them. And you've seen their games, and you've followed this organization for so long. Give me your take on the Washington Nationals right now.
Okay, that was a week's worth of hits for them. Take that as a one-off. You're not going to see a lot more of that. I mean, you know, they've got arguably one of the best pure talents in the game in Soto. But beyond that, there isn't a lot. I mean, there's some veteran guys that can certainly play the game, but they're going to be a last-place team. And, even the worst teams in baseball win 55 or 60 games. So that was one of those nights last night. They've been kind of unexplainable to people on the outside for the last year or so, really since they won that World Series, because they've just steadily whittled away at the talent on the roster. And after they won the World Series, a lot of the thought was, okay, there's budget restrictions. They can't keep everybody. They let Rendon walk. They did the cursory, hey, this is a pretty good offer to Bryce Harper, knowing full well that somebody would outbid them. But it's gotten worse since then, and they've really kind of cleared out the talent. And then this spring came this report that, well, maybe the Lerner family who owns them is interested in selling. They would listen to offers. And that tends to add a little bit of clarity to what's going on there. I mean, nobody's going to say for sure, but if you want to sell a team, it's great to have a Juan Soto as your centerpiece, but it's also great to have very few, if any, payroll commitments beyond your superstar. And it seems to be where they're headed. Certainly nothing official has come out, but Mike Rizzo is an aggressive GM, and he's been anything but that for the last couple of years.
Mm, boy, interesting. They've got Joan Adon today, I have to say that quickly.
You're right.
Johan Adon today, and Giants took care of him pretty well last Sunday, Logan Webb on the other side. Then Josiah Gray tomorrow, and I like Ruiz and Josiah Gray. I think
I do
the
too.
Scherzer trade, wasn't the greatest trade. Turner was thrown in there. I don't know why.
Again, but same thing. You don't have to make a long-term commitment.
Yeah, but these two players, we'll see Gray tomorrow, and I like Ruiz.
Yeah, Ruiz is a building block, definitely. I mean, it's so difficult. I mean, the Giants were blessed for a long time to develop an outstanding young catcher and build up, There's very few of them, and Ruiz has a chance to be just that. And Gray, I think, is going to be a really good pitcher. He's prone to the home run right now, and you'll probably see that. They'll probably hit a couple home runs off him, and he'll probably strike out eight guys. You'll see the good and the bad, and it's just a matter of him growing up on the big league level. If he had stayed in Los Angeles, he would have had spot starts on and off for two or three years before they finally settled in, which they tend to do. We've seen them do it with Urias and until those guys grow up into full-time major league pitchers. But he's going to learn on the job in Washington, but he's got a lot of talent.
Let's bring in the big right-hander, Bill Lasky. Bill, Mike Ford is now a San Francisco Giant. Your thoughts to start that one off?
Well, I tell you what, Marty and Paul, my biggest thing is you're buying players for cash. There's no player change over here. You're just buying the cash, you know, going to the store and buying a player. It seems like that's the kind of moves, Paul, that the Giants are making. Have you seen a lot of this lately, or is this something new that we have to look at when trades are made?
Well, I think the COVID thing adds a lot to that because you're looking right now, the Giants don't know. Do they need a guy for 3 days? Do they need a guy for 2 weeks? It's a guy that, if my memory serves me correctly, Seattle's only had him for a month or so. Same kind of thing. He's bounced around four or five organizations in the last couple of years looking for that spot. And he's kind of become that 4A kind of player, the guy you don't mind keeping at AAA. He's got a little bit of experience. You're getting a bind. Somebody's on in the IL, whether it's a COVID-related or not. Say Belt had gotten a more normal injury. He's out for 2 weeks. Well, this is the kind of guy you bring up from AAA, and not a big deal. And you're likely to outright him back rather than even keep him on your 40-man roster. That's why every time somebody tries to outright him, somebody else claims and says, we could use a little depth. So that's the kind of guys you're talking about. And if you don't know how long you need a replacement, it's like, not a lot of harm. Seattle didn't care that much, obviously, to keep him. They probably the two GMs said, hey, maybe you can do us a favor later in the year or something if we get in a similar bind. But so I think the COVID thing has more to do with this than anything else.
Right. DFA'd by Seattle, and that's the Giants picked him up. Bill, he went to Princeton. How about that? How many guys in the big leagues from Princeton? What does that tell you?
Not too many. Ron Darling's the one that I always think of.
Good one.
You know,
good
he's
call.
A good pitcher. You know, Marty and Paul, I'm going to ask both you guys a good question here. And when you start looking at this NL East and you start opening it up a little bit more, of course the Mets have just been so strong and they're missing a couple pitchers in their rotation. But I want to look at that Miami Marlin team. They've won six in a row, and Marty talks about their pitching. Their hitting, though, hasn't really hit yet. Paul and Marty, both your questions. You think Miami's got enough to contend in the NL East?
I think only if the other teams let them. if it becomes a division like the Central, where you don't see a lot of teams playing all that well, yeah, then they can hang in there. The Mets obviously is kind of stunning in the sense that you're right, DeGrom's out. They were really concerned. I mean, Tyler McGill, who was the first part of that no-hitter last night, was their opening day starter. And if you would have heard Mets fans at that point, it was like, oh, the sky is falling. How in the world can we have Tyler McGill as our opening day starter? Well, he's been pretty good. There's a couple teams there that the whole division intrigues me, really, except for Washington, because I think Philadelphia is the sleeper there. I think they're the ones that they have enough offense that they really could just bust out. And they've started to show it in the last week or so. And their pitching, they had a historically bad bullpen last year. They've addressed that to a certain extent, and their starting pitching is really solid. That's a team that has really good pitching and can hit, and we know they will hit. Miami, we're not sure. They're doing a nice job of piecing it together with the offense, but they don't have those guys in the middle of the lineup that can carry you like Philly can with Harper and Castellanos and Reese Hoskins. So, and we haven't even mentioned Atlanta. I mean, you know, they're the World Series champions, and they're off to a slow start, and they've got some pitching issues too. But I think that becomes a very intriguing division.
Well, it is, and the question is, how many wins do you need when you have a division where you have teams that could sort of beat each other? You may not have a 98.
Right.
To win it, so you maybe win it 92 or something
right,
like
and,
that.
Right, and it also makes it difficult if you're not going to win it, then where does that leave you in the wild card race? because unlike some of the other divisions, you don't have the weak sisters. You only got Washington to beat up on. You know, whereas in the Central, you've got the Pittsburgh and Cincinnati for sure, and maybe the Cubs. You know, in the West, Colorado's played well so far, but I think they'll eventually sink down. And Arizona's weak, but it's hard to build up those victory totals. I mean, I'm saying that after what the Giants and Dodgers did last year. But still, it's a lot more difficult if you've got four competitive teams in your division.
Yeah, that's the East. And Bill just had Eno Saris on, and Paul, you know Eno well.
Yeah.
Talking about the ball and runs and stuff like that. And look, batting average is as low as it's been since 1968. Runs per game are down. So to me, it's 2010 all over again, where pitching will decide this thing. And I will tell you about the Marlins. Pablo Lopez right now is the best pitcher in the league. And
I love
said
him.
This, I said this after the first game he pitched. Bill, you remember that? After the first game he pitched against the Giants, game number two there. And Alcantara and Rogers finally pitched a good game. You know, he's had 10 starts. He couldn't win, and he looks like he found it again. Then they got Hernandez, and they got Lizardo, who goes today against the Cardinals.
And you're asking them to be your fourth and fifth starters, and there are very few teams can match that.
Yeah, no, Lizardo goes today. Let's see, the Marlins are playing.
Right, Hernandez went last night. And
Seattle. Oh, they're playing Seattle against Robbie Ray.
Hernandez had a good game. He gave up one three-run double in the second inning and shut him down the rest of the way, and their bullpen did a decent job, too. So,
Here's my point. Here's my point with the Marlins. They need a closer, and Floro has been out, and he is going to be back in another week. So they're desperate for the guy at the end of the game. But, as you say, and I say it jokingly, I said it on the show today, if Aguilar, Soler, and Garcia come back from vacation, wherever they've gone. If they come back, this is a team that can win. They can win games. And it would not surprise me if they play over 500 and get in the high 80s.
Yeah, you're right. I agree with that. You know, one other piece of that kind of comes in. You know, you guys sat there and watched the Giants, and in the eyes of the rest of the world, you watched the Giants overachieve last year. Well, we're starting to learn that wasn't overachieving. That's the Giants. You know, they've become the Rays, the A's. Forget the names. Look at the sum of the parts, and they make it work. But one of the big pieces of what goes on with the Giants and that whole feeling is the ballpark, is the fan support, is the whole atmosphere of being in a race. I don't know if Miami can duplicate that, even if this team gets on a roll. That's a difficult place to be. It's like a mausoleum on the best of days, that becomes a piece. You know, it's hard to take a young team like they have and say, oh, it's going to be us against the world, and we'll show them. And it's hard. They've got to somehow get the fan base invigorated there, and I don't know if that's possible.
Hey, Paul, you know, we always talk about the top-tier teams. You always talk about the teams that are winning. But something's going on in Cincinnati that's really depressing. 3-17, they lost 10 in a row. They're 10.5 out. This team is either going to go to hell, can continue, and they're not going to be able to do anything. Are they going to start trading pieces out again? Are they going to start this so-called, quotations, rebuild? And now you got Tommy Pham talking about, hey, I don't care if we win or lose. I'm here to get my numbers. Very, very disappointing.
Oh, they were promoting. I was in Cincinnati last week, saw them play the Cardinals. And you talk about a horrible atmosphere. There it is. And they were billing the Tommy Pham's, they had a streak of games against the Padres and the Cardinals. They were calling it, he was calling it the Tommy Pham Revenge Tour. and they were promoting it kind of on their broadcast. You know, it was like, and it was going well because he was hitting well, but it was like, really? And it started in the off season. You talk about an atmosphere around a team. It can't get much more negative than what's going on there, because ownership basically said, all right, chop the payroll. It's economic. We don't have a choice. I don't know if they're right or wrong. I don't know if that's valid. But that's what came down from ownership. And the GM basically said it out loud. I've been told to chop the payroll. Here we go. And they started moving guys. And And yeah, you're right. What are they? 3-17 Well, they're going to move more guys. They're going to hope they're more marketable. So they have no choice at this point but to go into total rebuild. Now, I think they thought they were going to be better than this, and significantly better in the sense that they have a lot of good young pitching in their system. Well, Castillo got hurt. He's out. He was going to be the ace of their staff. They had to rush Green up there too quickly. You know, he's having growing pains. He'll probably be a good pitcher. They have a lot of good young arms, and they thought they could build with that and at least be competitive this year. Well, they ended up with guys getting hurt right off the bat. And you add that to an atmosphere where the guys on the roster already know, well, management's just trying to dump payroll. And I was in that ballpark. The fan base is kind of like, yeah, okay, this is just a, you know, going to be a disaster of a season. I mean, there's no sense, there's nothing positive going on there right now. And it started with ownership. Now, like I said, I don't know what's on their books and whether it's valid or not, but for whatever reason, here you go, you know.
Well, 3-17 says it all. Votto's hitting about 140, and that's going on. But Castillo's coming back. I like Lodolo. I think he's got potential. The left-hander, he just went on the
and
the
Green, and
list.
You know that. And that, yeah, that was their feeling. Like, okay, we'll use these young pitchers, and we'll be okay. You know,
they can't hit.
Yeah,
I mean they just can't. They're not hitting at all.
Well, they traded everybody. Yeah, everybody but Votto's gone.
No, and when you say the Skyline Chili is better than the team, you know it's trouble.
the team, you can go home. The team doesn't stick with you.
Yeah,
oh, there you go. I like
even
that one
Kipe was talking. Kipe was even talking about that last night on the broadcast. But Paul White is with us. Always a pleasure to talk ball with Bill and I. How about the American League East? What's going on there? Is there a resurgence with the Yankees? And Bruce just was out with us, said he thinks Anthony Rizzo hit like 45. What's going on with the Yankees?
Yeah, they've kind of put it back together. I think they're going to be really good. That division's fabulous. Same thing. One bad team, Baltimore. Boston's mediocre. They don't have the depth of talent to stay with the other three in that division. But the Yankees are definitely a 90-plus, maybe close to 95-win team easily. I think Toronto is still the best team in that division. They're still sorting out how they want their rotation to work. I think they'll get over this Yusei Kikuchi idea here in a week or two, and put, you know, they got some good young arms, but the other guys are great. Barrios is awesome. Kevin Gausman's pitching really well for them. They've got so much offense. Jordan Romano.
How about Manoah? Manoah's an ace.
Exactly. Jordan Romano's quietly become a shutdown closer for them. He does it every night. I think they're the best team in the American League right now.
Tampa Bay, what happened with Tampa Bay now? I know they're off to not the greatest start. You never know what they're doing, to tell you the truth. I don't know who plays for them or who's going to pitch or anything. But give us a little something on Tampa Bay and Boston.
I think Boston's a little top-heavy. They've got, you know, a bunch of guys you've heard of. They don't have the depth. Their bullpen's kind of in and out. They're a decent team, competitive team. But the other three in the division are just too strong. Tampa Bay, they're like the A's were for the last several years under Melvin. They're like the Giants were last year, where people on the outside say, who are these guys? But they identify the guys they need to put into roles, and a lot, very few full-time roles. You know, there's only a few guys that play every day. But you also have to have the guys who will buy into that. These are the guys who have had to battle to get where they are to get to the major leagues. And they're thrilled to have the roles they have and the part they play in success. And Tampa Bay identifies those guys, especially offensively. Pitching, they just grind them out. They find all the good young arms in the minor leagues. You know, if you go to make a deal with Tampa Bay and they ask for one of your minor league pitchers, you better call your scouts and say, what are we missing here? All right, what's going on with this guy? Wander Franco, their shortstop, is a superstar caliber player. This kid's awesome. But the rest of the lineup is a bunch of guys. It's Yandy Diaz and G-Man Choi, and you know their catchers take turns. They don't even platoon. They've got Francisco Mejia, who came out of the Padres organization, good prospect, good young catcher, and Mike Zunino, who hits like 180 with 35 homers. They just take turns each night, you know, and it's like, okay, you play tonight. But it's another one of those. The sum of the parts is so much better, and they're so far ahead of the game in leveraging every advantage of every guy. They know where to use their guys, and the guys sort of revel in it.
Hey, Paul, I know we're running out of time, but I got to ask you, is the L.A. Angels for real? Because they're sure taking my attention, and is this the year we're going to see Trout in the playoffs?
I like them a lot. I think they can make the playoffs. I think Houston will eventually evolve there and win the division, but you got three good teams in that division. I think the A's will have trouble keeping up. Seattle is a young team, still kind of learning how to win, but last year helped them a lot. They stayed in it right to the end. But no, the Angels are good. Again, another team with a shutdown closer. The rotation is a lot better with Syndergaard in there. They'll be solid, and again, it's one of those situations. Houston won't be as dominant as they've been, so that gives the Angels a shot.
Well, we're going to talk to Mark Simon about that when he comes on a little bit later. Angels are a good story, and the Sandoval is the best pitcher they got, and Ohtani hasn't done anything yet. So, yeah, that's a good question, Bill, what's going to happen there. Boy, Paul, a pleasure having you on, as always. Look forward to our next session, and we'll catch up with you. We'll see what Johan Adan.
You won't need to remember the name for a long time. It's okay.
Yeah, we'll see what Johan Adan has today. His cousin Melvin Adan, who pitched the Oh, goodness. All right, we'll see what Mike Ford, if he's in the lineup today. All right, great to talk with you. It's always a pleasure. It's what baseball's all about.
Thanks, guys.
All right. All right, Bill Carey and I will be up next right here in the Sports Leader.